Welcome back to the BCC Pod. My name's Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we are so glad that you've joined us back on BCC Recap. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive at the gym or you're just relaxing at home, we're so glad that you're here. This week, we are back talking about grace and specifically talking a lot of John Wesley.
Yeah.
A lot of John Wesley quotes. I joke that this is basically just a rehash of his sermons. You got a week off.
Yeah. Imagine if I just got up there and just changed it into more modern English and just, this is my sermon for today. Like, that's it.
Honestly, it probably could work. Especially even, you wouldn't even have to change it into modern day English because with the words that you use this week, nobody's surprised. Nobody's surprised that you said a word that we don't know.
No, they'd all be like, okay, this is fine. Yeah. Our church does roll with that pretty good. Where
really
like,
does. Yeah. Actually, I would be interested in knowing how many like Greek and non-common words you've used in your sermons. Actually, not even just used in your sermons, but have been focal points of your sermons over the past like eight, 9 years.
Have not been side quests. No. They're like the main thing. Yeah.
But you were talking about Wesley's kind of like three kinds of grace that he outlines. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So there's three different kinds of grace, or you might even say stages of grace. And the first one is called prevenient grace. And this is the idea that God's grace is just all around us all the time, that wherever God is, there is grace. And I think that idea, wherever God is, there is grace, is a really powerful one. Mm. And it reminds us to look for grace around us, to anticipate and even to expect it. So there's prevenient grace, then there's justifying grace. This is the moment when you actually accept Christ and you become pardoned from all your sin. That's how Wesley put it. And he said experientially that what ended up happening was his heart was like strangely warmed the moment that he realized that Christ died for him, and that while Christ died for the entire world, that included him personally. Mm. And it led to his heart being strangely warmed, which I think is a really beautiful way to describe to describe salvation. And then the last one is we had prevenient grace, we had justifying grace, it's sanctifying grace. And this is just the idea that grace is what empowers us and enables us to start to live and love more like Christ. And it's that process of becoming more like Christ and looking at him, and that people would look at us and see him even in and through us. Hmm. And so there are those three kind of stages of grace that Wesley talked a lot about. And I just think there are helpful ways to frame grace on a kind of a different kind of way.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I thought they were so good. Like it's funny too, because with those words, you assume that what's going to follow is something very cold. Right. Yeah. And it's actually just like really, just like strangely warm or, like just like beautiful and meaningful, in all three of them. Right. Yeah. That it's like, there's this closeness, when grace is described like this, that I really like.
Yeah. I did too. And I liked I like the idea that you said they're not like cold. Mm. Like sometimes theology can seem very impersonal because you're talking about principles or rules or whatever. But these, what I really feel it is that Wesley is just finding ways of describing our actual experience with God, which is why I really like it, that we've all had that experience, I believe, of seeing things go right in our lives, of there being grace there. Mm-hmm. Or many of us have made that decision to accept Jesus and then have felt our hearts strangely warmed. And we all want to actually hopefully live in love and look more like Christ. And he's just giving language to those different experiences that many of us would have kind of walked through over years of following Christ.
It's interesting too, like when we talk about the experiential thing that Wesley's trying to get at, how like for us in a Western context, how much, how detached we can become from our theology, and how easy it is to intellectualize to the point where our theology isn't lived. And I think what's cool about what, you shared with these kind of three things with, Wesley is just that like, there's something very lived about those kind of frame or those kind of, not lenses, but like types.
Yeah. I think it's not unique to Wesley, but I do think it's important to Wesley. Like Wesley was a guy who really, really deeply believed in deep theology and deep thinking about things. But that was partnered with a concern and a care for social reform or social justice. They were really big in the abolition of slavery movement, and then also really big on practical spiritual disciplines. And you don't always find those three things coming together, that he was really into theology and evangelism, social concern, and like being a disciplined person when it comes to like reading your Bible and prayer and all this stuff. And so I think that what ends up happening then is his theology is very much very lived. It's really set in the real world for which he lived in. And I think that translates for us. And that's why I think And I thought it'd be cool to kind of, I don't know, jump on board with grace with Wesley for a Sunday and just see what he would kind of think about things.
Yeah. So it's not lost on me that, like, what was it? 3 weeks ago, we gave people 6 different kinds of grace. Yeah. And then now we're giving them 3 more kinds of grace. And I like, I think I fundamentally understand the difference. But do you want to just go through the difference between those two?
Sure. So I think the difference is mainly in that Wesley is categorizing our experiences of grace. And I was describing the 6 perfections of what grace really is. Mm. So, and you can encounter one of those 6 kinds or types of grace in a sanctifying way, in a justifying way, or even in a prevenient way. And so, yeah, I think this is more about describing how grace lives and acts in our lives. And then the other ones were more about me kind of defining them and trying to peel back the layers on what do we mean when we say the word grace. Mm.
So jumping off of kind of those 3 types of grace or 3 experiences of grace, what was your main point in your challenge from this weekend?
My main point was really that God's grace is working everywhere. I really wanted to just hammer that home as much as possible. We spent the most time on prevenient grace because I don't know, for me, that makes my life hopeful because I know there's grace around me. I know there's grace within me. I know that God is working and moving through grace. So my main point was God's grace is working everywhere and in everyone. And then we're called to submit and surrender to it. That's really that sanctifying and that justifying moment that where we surrender to Christ. That's the salvation moment. We have to keep surrendering to him to make our lives look more like his than like the false, distorted lives we often lead ourselves. And so, yeah, that was my kind of my main point with that.
Yeah. And what was your challenge? What were you kind of hoping people would do this week?
I was hoping they would really end up doing 3 things if they hadn't. The first would be to develop awareness of when your life is going well. Sometimes we hit all green lights and we don't even think about it. We don't even feel gratefulness or gratitude. And that's a small thing. But I mean, grace lives in the small things too. Mm. And so I just wanted to invite people to expect to experience grace, to develop an awareness for it, an anticipatory kind of anticipation for it. And so that was one of my kind of hopes for it. The other was around decisions, that if people hadn't accepted Christ, that they would be like Wesley and have their hearts strangely warmed by him and they would respond to the grace. And then lastly, that we might kind of do some remodeling in our hearts if there are things that need to be removed or repented of, or kind of we use the analogy of a house that need to be kind of remodeled or thrown out, that we would do that work of allowing God to remake us into his image a little bit more. And I think it's grace that does that. So my hope was really like awareness, decisions, and then ultimately some remodeling, that we all would do some kind of work where we'd look more like Christ through our actions.
Yeah, I love that. And clearly there wasn't a lack of stuff to talk about this weekend. That was a pretty packed sermon. But is there anything you didn't have time to get to?
No, I mean, I didn't get over to how I guess I don't think I mentioned this enough, that Wesley, especially if you read his writings and that sort of stuff, he can be quite direct, and he is a really direct person.
Yeah.
And he got kicked out of a lot of churches because of how direct he was.
I was going to say, I think like from what I know about Wesley, like he would have been considered a decently radical for his time, right?
Oh, yeah.
In how he thought and how he practiced. And, yeah.
And he had no problem. Like, one of my favorite Wesley stories is he's preaching on Matthew 25, where it talks about feeding the those who are hungry and going visit those who are sick and imprisoned and giving water to those who are thirsty and like doing all this practical work. And this guy stands up and says, but what about them being saved by Jesus? Where's the evangelism? Where? And he's really like angry that you need to save their souls and you need to do evangelism. And Wesley's response is like, I don't know what might happen to their souls, but he says, I know what'll happen to yours if you deny Christ and do not do what he has clearly said. You are in danger of hell, sir. And I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh,
that's crazy.
That is, yeah. Like it is.
Oh man.
He is a strong personality and I would not be asking him questions like that.
There are so many stories of like the OG, like theology people back then of like just having the wildest roots.
Oh,
I have one of my tattoos is a quote from Come Thou Fount. And I got it because the guy who wrote Come Thou Fount, his conversion story is that he was drunk one night with his friends and they went to a Methodist church meeting to heckle. And he listened to the person speaking and gave his life to Christ that night.
That is
like, it's
wild.
Just like so many stories like that where it's like, yeah, just it's crazy. Or like the people that we, make statues of and that sort of thing, getting kicked out of churches.
Yes.
And like, yeah, it's wild.
So that part was great. The other part, if you missed it in the first service, on the second service, I asked how many times Wesley has preached. I asked Krista this, and this is also, we didn't have time to get into the first service. And her response was 50 times, which I thought was the worst response. And so you can go back and listen to my heckling of her a little bit when we're talking about heckling in services. Yeah. No, you preached 40,000, not 50.
How many sermons do you think you preached?
I thought about that for a while because I was like, oh, I usually do probably like 50 a year. Yeah, so
there aren't a ton that you...
Yeah, like, and especially too, if you include ones that like, even not on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I've been doing it for 20 years. Wow. So, a lot of sermons I've preached. Yeah.
You got a long way to go to catch up with Wesley.
Yeah, there's no way I'm catching up with him.
Quick break before we get back into things. We just released this year's edition of the Vision magazine. And although as the editor and designer, I am a little biased when I say this, I really think that you should go and check it out. It's full of updates about our church, conversations about what's next, and highlights of where God has been working in our community. You can click the link in the description of this podcast or visit the Welcome Center on Sunday to get a paper copy. Let's jump back to the episode. All right. So we got some questions for you.
Great.
The first came from our favorite longtime listener, Jim.
Okay.
And it's a long one. He, in the middle of it, kind of shares a little bit of his understanding of it. And he kind of asks if that sounds right. So just to give you a heads up. So he says, how do the Abrahamic covenant, Barclay's terminology, and Wesley's categories of grace relate to each other, particularly around salvation and repentance?
Okay.
So that's his question. He goes on to say, I think I've got it, but would like some verification. My understanding is that the Abraham covenant is what Wesley calls justification grace, and Barclay refers to as efficacy of grace. It's the grace that allows us to choose salvation, although the Abraham covenant seems like a lot more than just that. We choose it by repenting. Prevenient grace is what holds the world and our lives together. Does that sound right?
Yes. I think of nothing
done.
Else.
No, next done. Question.
No, I think you got it really well, Jim. And this is what I love about grace, that grace is almost like a diamond. The more you turn it, the more like there's just, you see little facets of it.
Or like a kaleidoscope.
Oh, right. Or like the series name that we chose intentionally that I should remember.
It's like a bunch of diamonds in a tube.
Yeah, a tube thing that allows you to... I'm never going to be invited on my own podcast again. That's what's going to happen now.
Fired.
Yeah, that's it. It's like a kaleidoscope, obviously. Like, that's clearly wasn't where I was going. You just beat me to it.
Of course. Yeah. Supporting, not telling.
And that's what I love about the different views of grace. So I think even in the covenant sermon, my hope was to get people to just really understand that God has made a unilateral covenant of grace, and that what that grace can look like are those six different perfections, and that how that grace then works in our lives could be Wesley's three stages or three things. But I think especially the covenant and the efficacy of grace are tied to the justifying portion of grace, that moment where you make the decision to follow Jesus and to surrender to him and surrender to his grace. And even that surrender is all based on grace. And it's kind of like a gift that we receive, that we open up, that it's still based on God's activity. That's why I like prevenient grace too. It reminds us that even our coming towards Christ is done by grace. That's not done by our own effort. And it's not like we kind of will ourselves to get there, but he works within us. And the technical theological language would be that he woos us towards him.
Uncomfortable, but
yes, it is. It's a strange way for to speak.
You know what? Like, good on that.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, it makes sense too that, like, essentially, like, the what Wesley's saying and what we talked about with Barclay, like, they're going to be connected because one is experience and one is root, but they're distinct things that they're aiming at.
Yeah.
The second question we have says, what practical difference does believing in prevenient grace make for how we approach evangelism or discipleship?
So I think practically what it should do is a number of things. First, it should make us, and I wish this would be true, it should make us so, so humble. Mm. Like that we would be humble in things like evangelism, that we don't think of ourselves as the people who is bringing Christ somewhere he isn't. That is just theologically untrue. And it's really arrogant to think that we are the conveyor of the totality of Christ to someone. Right. And I also think it puts way too much pressure on those moments.
Yeah.
Rather than recognizing, no, God's already at work with our family, our friends, our neighbors. He's at work in your classmates. He's at work with your office people that are around you. And our job then is to join in with what God is already doing. And I think prevenient grace is about us developing an awareness or the eyesight to kind of see him moving. And then we join with him. So, yeah, I definitely think it has a practical impact on evangelism. I think then too, for discipleship, it's that we are still empowered by grace and that still continues. And it allows us to be kind to ourselves because it's not all based on us, but it also reminds us then to be constantly looking towards Christ, who is the one who gives us grace so that we can boldly come to his throne, as it says in Hebrews, through grace, and to live in love and look more like Jesus, which is the ultimate goal of discipleship, is to look like him.
I think too about on the evangelism side of things, as you were talking, like it's almost the idea, prevenient grace almost makes the idea that it's like you don't drive the car and you also didn't start at the beginning destination.
Yeah.
You're just getting on, yeah. right? You're just getting in. And that it's like, it didn't start with you. It won't end with you. And you're not going where it goes. You're just joining.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just joining what God is already doing.
Yeah.
And you're saying yes to his yes that's already out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think that's I think it's really practical, actually, that idea of prevenient grace. It's really and biblical and scriptural and all of that, but it's really personal.
Yeah. We should get that on a t-shirt. Yes to his yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next question I have says is a quote from Martin Luther. It says Martin Luther called justification the article by which the church stands or falls. Do you think that's still true today?
So here's my gut reaction. My gut reaction is I would want to say the article in which the church stands or falls is Christ, perhaps not justification. But I also don't want to disagree with Martin Luther because I just think that Martin Luther is like he's brilliant. He's great. And I want to see the concept or the context.
I was going to say this is a pretty pulled out quote. Like,
OK, because it might make more sense in context. But to say that yeah, I wouldn't want it to be, if he's meaning there, Christ's atoning work, then I would be like on board with it. If it's more meaning our personal justification, where it's more human-centered, I'd want to make sure that it would be God-centered and God's action-centered. So I'd want to make sure that, yeah, the church stands or falls on Christ alone, and he is the one who does that and moves us forward. But that's my gut reaction to it.
Even with incomplete information, I think that's still a great answer. Our last question for today says, how does sanctifying grace differ from moral effort? Where's the line between cooperating or joining with grace and trying to earn transformation?
So I think the line is in earning, not effort. And we talked about this a while ago that Dallas Willard had said that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning.
Right.
And that, yes, like sometimes the grace that we get bestowed upon us does carry with it even some responsibility to act in correct ways. And that requires effort. It's not easy. And grace kind of opens us up to seeing the right things that we should be doing and inviting us in. That's sometimes how theologians talk about grace. They sometimes talk about it as a lure that God uses in the kind of an appropriate way to lure us into the best possible future that we could be having for the flourishing of ourselves and the world around us. And that's always being presented to us right up front. And our job is to kind of join and say yes to God's yes, or to say yes to the invitation in front of us. But the moment we start to think that because of our actions, we've earned a place in God's kingdom, that's like a problem.
Yeah.
That we're so good and so great that actually we've earned our way in. That's where all of a sudden grace would want to say, no, nobody has earned it. Nobody is that perfect and put together other than Jesus. He's the one who truly earned it. And it's only because of his earning that we are welcomed in. So we can still have effort. But it is not earning. In salvation talk, there's kind of two ways to sometimes to describe salvation. And one is called monergistic and the other is called synergistic. And the idea is like, if you're
add in two more words to the list.
Yeah, there's two more weird words for you all. We're just going to start calling my sermons words with Andrew. It's just going to be like that. And what they mean is there's this kind of this image, if you're trapped in a hole, monergistic is where God reaches down and grabs you and he pulls you out and saves you. Synergistic is where you reach up your hand, you can't get out, but you just hold on and he holds on to you. And there is this kind of still coming together or cooperative effort, but it's really still all of God's effort that is saving you, all of God's effort that is changing you, all of God's effort that is sanctifying you. And so I sometimes like to think about that of, yeah, I might just be holding my hand up and that's all I can do, and he still reaches down and grabs my arm and lifts me out and does the things that I can't do on my own. So I think the moment we think that in being rescued that we've earned it or we've somehow climbed out of the pit on our own, that's a problem.
Yeah. Period. What a great place to end. That's a wrap for today's episode. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300. We would love to hear from you. And before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave a quick review or rating. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.
See ya.